Thank you all very much. Turn in your copy of God's Word to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. The book of Numbers. If you have noticed in your bulletin, I have listed Numbers 13 and 14. You go, oh wow. That's two whole chapters. Well, I'm going to put the cat out of the bag here too. Let the cat out of the bag. There's 12 points to this message. You're like, oh wow. Good thing we're having soup here at the church. Relax, guys. This isn't going to be a long, involved message, but some of you are going to catch why there's 12 points to this message. In honor of Scout Sunday, the title of this message from Numbers 13 and 14, and we're going to skip around. The title of this message is A Scout Is. A Scout Is. Now, ladies, I have to apologize to you. The only guideline I had to go by in my experience was Boy Scouting. I was never a Girl Scout, although at certain points in my teen years I was scouting for girls, but that's another story altogether. If you found your place in Numbers 13, I want us to see how in ancient times scouting was, how in modern times scouting is, and how we as Christians on the forefront of the culture should scout out and should follow our Lord, the great commander. If you found your place in Numbers 13, join me in a word of prayer, please. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, lead us where you would have us to go. Teach us what we need to know to get there and have us follow you always. Bless the reading, preaching, and teaching of your word. Help us to focus on it and follow you. For it's in your Son's name we do pray. Amen. What we have here in Numbers 13 and on into 14 is a situation. The children of Israel have left Egypt and have been wandering around in the desert for a while. And they finally come, they think, to the place where they're going to inherit the land. Remember, the land was promised to them through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob. And it's now time. They've fled Egypt, slavery and oppression. God has purified them in the heat and anvil of the desert, and they're now ready, they think, to go in and possess the land. But God's not quite through with them yet. You see, while they will be sent, or a part of them will be sent, to scout out the land, to understand what's going on, there's a more important work going on. They have to, as a nation and as individuals, scout out, as it were, their own hearts. They're going to find out some things about them that aren't very good, but that need to be dealt with. Let's read the first three verses of Numbers chapter 13. And again, we're going to be skipping around a little bit. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Send men to scout out the land of Canaan I am giving to the Israelites. Send one man who is a leader among them from each of their ancestral tribes." Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran at the Lord's command. All the men were leaders in Israel. Stop right there. The first thing I want you to see about being a scout in this time and being a scout today, and especially you guys, you kids, you scouts, first of all, a scout is trustworthy. A scout is trustworthy. You don't have to worry or wonder or say, I wonder what they're up to. Are they tying someone to a tree and trying to set them on fire? No, a scout is trustworthy. These particular men that were sent out from the tribes of Israel, from their families, from their clans, were trustworthy people, and they were given a mission by God. Today, as Christians, we have a charge and an important thing on our lives to be trustworthy before God. Now, I understand God sees and knows all. God's never surprised by anything. Yet, we have the responsibility to be trustworthy with all the things that He has given us to care for. That does include things like the environment. I don't believe a good Christian would run around polluting or tearing things up, but not to worship the environment. A good Christian would be okay with their finances, would be generous, and a good Christian would be trustworthy to always live uprightly and to proclaim the gospel message to a hurt, dying world. These men were sent out to scout the land that God had already given them. Did you notice that? I'm already giving it to you. I want you to just go take a look. God has promised us not a land, but a hope, a help. He's promised us that if you are with me, I will be there with you. That there are souls that you can reach, and I will be there. Be trustworthy to what God would have you to do. Verse 3 says that they were also loyal. They were loyal because they were leaders, and they were loyal to the people. And as we'll see later on, at least two were very loyal in the face of adversity. These men that were chosen were the cream of their crop, so to speak. They weren't just little unknown guys. These were people that had trustworthiness, as I mentioned before, built into them, that they were loyal, that they, you didn't have to wonder, now, are they going to go out, and when they're spying the land, are they going to sell us out? Are they going to tell everyone where we are so that all the inhabitants of the land, remember, they're surrounded, all the inhabitants of the land can fall on us and destroy us? No. These men were leaders. Leaders in a church, in any organization, have to be loyal to that organization. And they have to be loyal to their leader. Who's the leader in this church? Jesus Christ. Our loyalty should never be in question. The loyalty of these men were not in question. They were designed to go into the land by God. They were called out by God, and they were prepared by God to go into the land and to spy it. They had a mission. They had to be loyal not only to the people, but to the mission. Another thing I want you to notice from the first three verses is that they had to be helpful. Helpful? How does that work into this? How could you be helpful and be a spy? Well, simply this. They had to be aware of the need. Israel needed information about the land. God had promised it to them, but it had been some 200 years since the 12 tribes originally, the 12 sons, technically the 10 sons of Israel or Jacob, had moved, and his two sons, the two sons of Joseph, which were given a double blessing. It had been some 200 to 300 years since they had been in the land. They didn't know anything about it. They knew that God had promised it to them. They knew they were to go in and claim it, but tactically things change. They had to be aware of the need and willing to help. I don't think you would want a reluctant spy. I don't think you would want a spy who didn't want to do anything to scout out to help the cause. The scouts or spies, if you will, back then, had to have a heart of being helpful. But not only that, folks. Not only did they have to be helpful, they had to know where their help came from. It would be a very dangerous thing to go in to a land surrounded by enemies and not know that someone didn't have your back. To think that I'm all alone totally here, that no one cares, no one wonders about me, no one's praying for me. They had to be helpful and they had to have help. Today, as scouts in this land, we know where our help comes from. Psalm 121, 1 and 2 teaches us that we can lift our eyes to the mountains. Where will my help come from? The psalmist says, I have lifted my eyes to the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's where our help comes from. We have to both recognize the need to be helpful, to help a hurt, lost, and dying world. And we also have to recognize that our help and our strength comes from God. Skip on down to verse 17. Not only do they have to be trustworthy, loyal, helpful. Some of you are following along. What's next? Friendly. How can a spy be friendly? It's very simple, guys. If you're going in to spy the land, are you going to walk around with a big sign on your body saying, I'm a spy, I'm here? No. They're going to try to blend in. They're going to try to fit into the culture. They're going to try to be in the culture, but not part of the culture. There's a lesson in that for us too. To reach the lost men and women, boys and girls, of Goldsboro, North Carolina, we have to be friendly. We're not called to go out and do everything the world is doing. I'm not saying go out and go to all these bars and go out and go to all this and all that, but you have to be friendly to people. You have to be able to get to know people. What's the best way to get information from someone? Ask. What's the best way to be friendly to someone? Approach them. Approach them. It's really that simple. If you want to be a soul winner, you have to be friendly. People get really turned off if you take a 60-pound Bible and start beating them up over the head with it, whether literally or figuratively. Be friendly. Be open. Be honest. Numbers 13:17 says this. When Moses sent them out to scout the land of Canaan, he told them, go up this way to the Negev, then go up into the hill country. Why? This was a piece of strategy. If they came straight from where the Israelites were encamped, what would it look like? They came straight from where the Israelites were encamped. He had them go a circular route to gather information, to find out stories, to find out things, so that when they got to the various towns and cities, they could engage in what was going on around them so that they could be friendly without giving away their position. If you look at the next verse, Numbers 13:18, he wants them to be courteous. He wants them to be courteous. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. How does that relate to courtesy? Courtesy teaches us that we're not to go and barge down doors. We're not to go and be uninvited, but we're to make ourselves, as I said earlier, friendly. And we're to not engage the world with hostility, but with meekness and kindness, which we'll get to. They're to be courteous. They're not to stand out in any way. In this world today, it's sad to say that being courteous to people does stand out. We live in a society of people that don't care about anything but themselves. We're still called as Christians to have courtesy. To have courtesy. As scouts then and as scouts for the Lord Jesus Christ today, we have to be able to follow correctly and the right customs of the day. To be courteous. To not make an error. To not make someone uncomfortable. Is it easy? Sometimes it's not. Sometimes the gospel itself, you've got to remember, is an offense to people anyway. Still, we strive to get along with people in order that we may reach them. Verse 18 also teaches us that they had to be kind. They had to be kind. They had to be good to the people that they met in order to turn in and gather information. Kind word goes a long way. We try to make it a practice when we go out to eat to be kind to our server. If the food's not right, is it worth it to just grump and growl? No. No, it's not. We've also made it a habit in our life that when we get good service, we tip generously. And when we tip generously, we have a little folder that says thank you, that we slide the money in. And inside this is the plan of salvation. We've done this for many years now. And it's a way to give the gospel message to someone who's very busy at a restaurant, who may not have time to sit and engage, but you can still do something. You can still be kind to them. You can still ask about them. Also, it's kind to ask about them, to say, how's your day going? We're getting ready to pray here. Is there anything I can pray about for you? You know, that really stuns people when you're kind to them. We live in an unkind world. Drawing back to the scouts that were sent into the land, if they were mean, if they were gruff, if they were evil, if they were hard to live with, they would stick out. Their mission would be gone. If you go on down to verses 20 and then 23, there was a call on their lives to be obedient. To be obedient. Look at verse 20. Moses is continuing with his instructions. Is the land fertile or unproductive? Are there trees in it or not? Be courageous. Bring back some fruit from the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. He's given them, you know, give us some information. Look at verse 23. When they came to the valley of Eshcol, they cut down a branch of the single cluster of grapes, which was carried on a pole by two men. They also took some pomegranates and some figs. So in verse 20, Moses says, okay, when you're getting all this, we want to know what the land is like. Be obedient to the mission. Follow the mission. Bring us back some actual information. Verse 23 says that it took two men to carry this enormous amount of grapes and this enormous amount of figs and this enormous amount of pomegranates. The point is, they were obedient. They brought back the information. God has called us to be obedient to His Word, to bear fruit, not only in our lives, the fruit of goodness, kindness, and so forth that we find in the book of Galatians, but fruit in bringing the lost and dying to a Savior, Jesus Christ. They were obedient and fulfilled that part of their mission. Verse 30. When they've come back, spies sent out. In fact, most of them were sad. Most of them were disgruntled. Most of them were negative. Most of them had good things to say about the land, but said, you know, we just can't do it. We can't be there. We can't take on these people. They're like these giants and we're like grasshoppers. I ask you this. Who was on the side of the Israelites? God. Can God win? Yeah. Does God win? Yes. Can God do anything, even with a small people? Yes. Yes. Verse 30, we see that only Caleb and Joshua are cheerful or are excited about the Lord. Let's look. Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, "We must go up and take possession of the land, because we certainly can conquer it." 10 people are saying we can't do this. Yes, it's a great land. Yes, God's promised us, but we'd better just stay in this desert and die. Caleb says no. No, 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 no. God's on our side. Let's go get it. An interesting side note about Caleb here. If you read on and you get to the book of Joshua, you find that Caleb was one of the two people allowed to enter the land. You also find that Caleb came to Joshua when he was 85 years old and said, "You promised me, Joshua, that I could have this particular mountain that I want, and I'm going to go take it." He says, "I may be 85, but I'm not weak. My eyesight hasn't dimmed, and my hearing is just fine. I'm going to take it." everything God had promised him. Caleb was different than many of us. When we have a task to do, we look for excuses. Caleb was ready to do it to the best of his ability, and he was going to go if no one else went with him. He was cheerful, and he kept his enthusiasm up his entire life. Would to God we had more Calebs in Christendom. If you skip over to chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, you see the murmurings begin to swell. You see people begin to follow the 10 instead of the 2. The minority report isn't respected because it's not what the people want to do. But you see the thriftiness of Joshua and Caleb. Let's look. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who scouted the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite community, verse 7, "The land we passed through and explored is extremely good." Verse 8, "If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and give it to us." Verse 9, "Only don't rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of this land, for we will devour them. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them." How were Joshua and Caleb, these two minority report scouts, thrifty? Simply this. They counted the cost of obeying the Lord, and they went ahead and did it. They didn't offer excuse. They didn't say, "We don't have the time or the resources or anything else." They said, "The Lord's with us, and if he's with us, we can do it, because God is at the beginning of this. God is at the middle of this, and God will be in the end of this." They were thrifty in the fact that they found that when counting the cost, it was better to follow God. Verses 8 and 9, they were brave. They stood up to the entire multitude of the people and said, "Look, you guys are wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. We need to follow God. We don't need to follow conventional wisdom. We don't need to follow some report from someone who doesn't know that says we can't do it. We don't need to follow the naysayers." Joshua and Caleb were brave in that they had the courage to follow God and even encourage others to do so instead of giving in to defeat and negativity. There were giants in that land, it's true, but there weren't so many that God couldn't handle it. There were numerous people in that land, it's true, but God had already given it to them. God made a promise, and God always keeps his promise. Always. They were thrifty in that they've counted the cost and did it. They were brave that they followed God and encouraged others. Verse 30 of chapter 14, we find that they were clean. You go, "Clean? What are you talking about?" Let's read. God is speaking to Moses and Aaron and says this startling fact in verse 30. This is God speaking again. "I swear to you that none of you will enter the land I promised to settle you in except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun." God, by this time, has had enough, and he's pronounced judgment on the whole tribe of Israel and says, "You're going to die in the desert. You were disobedient to me. You wanted to hold on, and you wanted to quit, and you wanted to give up. You're going to die where you are. Only will I allow Joshua and Caleb." How were they clean? They had a clean heart and a clean conscience before God. They followed God, no matter what the cost. Those around them were going to die in the desert and die without borders of the promised land because they quit. Spiritually, Caleb and Joshua saw the goal, didn't offer excuses, didn't offer complaints. They said, let's go do it. And they remained clean and pure before God. In verse 38, we see the reverence of these two men. Let's read in verse 36. So the men Moses sent out to scout the land who returned and incited the entire community to complain about him by spreading a bad report about the land. Those men who spread the report about the land were struck down by the Lord. Only Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of those men who went out to scout the land. You think God was kidding about this? I say they were reverent because of this simple fact. Reverence is something that can be seen from the outside sometimes. In the way you act, reverence is really and truly formed in the heart. Your outward actions show a sense of reverence, but you can be irreverent in your heart. Joshua and Caleb were rewarded for their desire to follow God fully and to take him at his word. In this, they showed reverence for God. Those are the 12 points of the Scout Law. Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Psalms 103, 17 through 19 promises us this. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. While a scout may be all those things, and while we might strive to keep those 12 points in our lives, we have to do it daily. We have to follow Christ. Will you follow him today? As Lisa comes to play her hymn of invitation, the hymn is 358. Stand up for Jesus. And I do invite you to stand and sing this song, but I also invite you, if you have a need, if you have a desire in your heart, if you have a burden, give it to the Lord. We are sent to scout out the land, not in a military fashion, but to find lost souls. Give it over to God. Please stand and sing hymn.